Well, welcome to Westview Community Church. I think that's the best way to start a Sunday, right? Together? Wow. It's the summer heat, isn't it? It's like, but to our guests who are here, we're glad you're here with us also. We always hope, this is the vision and heart of our church. We hope that if you're visiting us today as a guest, we hope by the time you leave, you feel like family, right? Amen? Because Christ Church is a very big church, right? Right, so make sure our guests feel welcome, but we're glad you're here also. I want to start actually out today with a story. And some of us might remember this kind of story from our youth. The story was about a first grade teacher. She was out on a playground, and a few of her first graders were by the fence, and all of a sudden a fire truck comes roaring by, lights and sirens. So what did the kids do, right? They all go to the fence to watch the fire truck go roaring by. And the first grade teacher was listening to them because the children noticed there was a Dalmatian dog on the fire truck. And so she started listening to their conversation after the fire truck went by. They started talking about amongst themselves, what's the job of the Dalmatian dog? And so one little boy said, I know, the job of the dog is to keep the crowds back at the scene of the fire for safety. And then another little boy said, no, I don't think so. He says, I think the job of the dog is to bring good luck and safety to the firefighters. And a third child, this little girl, ended the conversation. She said, no, it's not. She said, the Dalmatian dog is there to help them find the fire hydrant. The wisdom of children, right? The wisdom of children. You don't need to have a lot of years' experience. It's amazing how much wisdom we see even in children. And that's what we want to talk about today. We want to talk about wisdom. But before we go forward, we really need to go back and kind of catch up where we've been. We are in the middle of a series. We are walking through the book of James together in the New Testament. And so the series, the whole theme of the book of James is about faith without action is dead. And he's encouraging his young church, James is, he's a stepbrother Jesus, he's encouraging his church to say, hey, your faith is not enough, your faith has to result in action. And so we're kind of walking through each chapter each week through the month of July. We're using a series, we got a title for it called Man in the Mirror, because that's the very first chapter James talks about the man in the mirror. It's how we see ourselves. Is how we move from faith to action. So in chapter 1, we talked about when we look in the mirror, we actually see God in his image, and that helps us see what our image is. And that only can happen through reading the Word. And so the action step in week 1 was get into God's Word. You will see God more clearly, which will reveal who you are more clearly. And that is faith, and that will result in faith and action. Week 2, Fred did a great job last week talking about when you look in the mirror. I talked about first week how you see yourself. He said how you see in the mirror who's around you. Your faith in action shows who's around you. And he talked about unintentional prejudice and how we tend to not, we stay within our own circles, but how to cross lines and move as Christ's example is to move in action, that we move across lines and go to the places that Jesus would have went and shared our faith. And so this week, we're talking about wisdom. And this is in chapter 3. So I want you to turn with me to James, the book of James, chapter 3. It's like the fifth book from the back. It's not very long. And I'll be reading out the New Living Translation, so it might look a little different than the one you have. And we'll have it up over here. But we're talking about this. When we summarize it, week 1 was, who are we? Week 2 is, who is around us? And week 3 is about, what does our life look like in the mirror? And it's based on wisdom. And so wisdom is not a word you hear very often today. Wisdom, it really doesn't seem to be a priority in our lives. It's kind of like an old school word. But the Bible talks a lot about wisdom. As a matter of fact, there's a whole book called Proverbs that's nothing but wisdom. And many times, like if I would shout out, say, give me one word that's synonymous with wisdom, what word would you use? That's the answer for everything. That's just not fair. One word. It's probably the most common word everybody thinks of when they think of wisdom. It's a good one. You know, the one that's most common is knowledge. But you know, they're very different. They are very different. Knowledge and wisdom are very different. They're related, but they're not the same thing. Knowledge, and I just want to make this clarification because we're going to need this as we walk through today. Knowledge is the storing of information in my mind, and that's gained by experience or study or reasoning. But wisdom is discernment. That was a word. It's understanding and action based on that knowledge. So wisdom is an action word. Knowledge isn't necessarily an action word. And so I want to show you two quotes that separate them a little bit. Here's the first quote. It says, knowledge is knowing a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in fruit salad. That was actually on a t-shirt I read. That was kind of cool. But when we look at faith, this is a statement of faith. Knowledge learns of Jesus. Wisdom loves him. And so that's kind of the difference between those two. We kind of need to know as we go ahead. And I want to show a video clip. When I was thinking of this, it jumped in my mind. When I think of wisdom, who do you think of in your life when you think of wisdom? A lot of times, right, mom or dad. But what about grandma? You know, you think of your grandparents. There's all this wisdom that they have too. And so I thought of this movie called Parenthood. And it's with Steve Martin. It's a comedy. And it kind of fit today, so I want you to show you a little clip from that. And what it is, let me set the stage here. Steve Martin has got a big family. He's got, well, they got three children. He's got everything, the same problems we all have. He's got a job that he's trying to really get self-ambition, really climb the ladder. He's got all kinds of dysfunctional family. His kids are struggling. He's got one son who has a lot of self-esteem issues and anxiety, and he's playing baseball. And so that's where the video starts, is he's scared to death about his son playing baseball because of his anxiety and self-esteem. And he's got all these problems in his family, and he's struggling for wisdom. But watch, right at the end of this clip, wisdom walks into the room.
From the Little League game.
Isn't that demented?
That a grown man's happiness depends on whether a 9-year-old catches a pop-up? I mean, what if he missed?
But he didn't.
But he could have.
But he didn't.
But he could have.
But he didn't, Gil. You threw him 12 million pop-ups in the backyard. You cut the odds considerably. If he hadn't, ow! Ow.
But there's three of them. And you want to have four. And then the fourth one could be Larry. And they're going to do a lot of things. I mean, baseball's the least of them. And in all those things, sometimes they're going to miss.
Sometimes they won't.
Sometimes they will.
Sometimes they will.
Sometimes they will.
What do you want me to give you? Guarantees? These are kids, not appliances. Life is messy.
I hate messy. It's so messy.
You know, when I was 19, Grandpa took me on a roller coaster.
Oh?
Up, down, up, down. Oh, what a ride.
What a great story.
I always wanted to go again. You know, it was just interesting to me that a ride could make me so frightened, so scared, so sick, so excited, and so thrilled all together. Some didn't like it. They went on the merry-go-round. That just goes around. Nothing. I like the roller coaster. You get more out of it.
You know, it's a movie of fiction, but it's not far off from our lives today. We all have the drama, the joy, the anxiety, the family problems, our marital problems in our lives. But how many of us have a grandma like that? She walks in a room and exudes wisdom. And the grandma described two types of wisdom. If you're paying attention here, she described two types of wisdom. So for our guests, especially today, when you walked in, you got a worship guide like this. We have these sermon notes on the back. And if you want to follow along with us, and everybody can use those during the week to go back and look at God's word. But here's the first sermon note. Here's the two types of wisdom that the grandma talked about here. She said, wisdom directs us to a merry-go-round or a roller coaster life. And so she described two types of wisdom. You know, and it's that type of summer where, you know, the fair is only a couple weeks away here in Manhattan. And, you know, when it comes to town, we have the merry-go-round. And a lot of times, you know, like when you go to the parks, it's got roller coasters. Our wisdom can create a life that's like a merry-go-round. It goes around and around, lacks purpose, constantly craving for something else like she's describing. And in the end, it's really nothing. And what is it about the merry-go-round? For most of us, it was the very first ride we went on. Why? Because it was safe. It was safe. Or our wisdom, she said, can be like a roller coaster. Our wisdom can take us on a roller coaster. We have to leave our safe place. The roller coaster is risky. She said, quite a ride. So frightened, so scared, so sick, but so exciting. She said, so thrilling. And she said, somehow that wisdom, all the ups and downs, the wisdom makes your life more purposeful. Grandma was right. There's a lot of wisdom there. As I talked about earlier, old age doesn't guarantee wisdom. But the Bible tells us that wisdom comes from two places, just like Grandma said. And it isn't necessarily from age. And so in the book of James, he describes these two types of wisdom. He says there's only two places wisdom comes from. So I want you to turn with me. You're in James 3. Let's go to James 3:13. And we're going to read the first part together, which is 13 through 16. And here's where James describes the first type of wisdom. So starting in James 3, verse 13. James says, if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with humility that comes from wisdom. And here he begins to describe the first type of wisdom. He says, but if you are bitterly jealous, and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, they're unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. So let's take a look. He's describing the first type of wisdom here. Let's talk about this. It's interesting. He starts out there in verse 13. He says, if you're wise and understand God's ways, prove it, right? He's a guy of action. He keeps talking about action. If you're wise, your life will prove it. But he gives us a key here. It's in humility. We'll come back to that. But then he starts to describe the bad type of wisdom. And James puts two things to this. He says, let's look at sermon note number one together. I'm sorry, sermon note number, this is a wisdom list. Let's do this. We're going to put a list up here. This is what I'm going to call merry-go-round wisdom. I think what he's describing is a merry-go-round type of wisdom. And so merry-go-round wisdom is found in verses 14 through 16. It's first marked by envy and self-ambition. Envy and jealousy are kind of the same word. It means I'm always wanting something that's not mine. It's wisdom that always has its eyes set on the next thing. It's never satisfied. It's always wanting something else. And self-ambition is always me first. It's always me first. I'm more interested in how I do this, how I provide, what we want, direction of life. Everything is focused with a self-interest as a priority, which is the opposite of humble. We'll talk more about that. So he said this wisdom involves envy and self-ambition. The second thing he says, that's not from heaven. He said, this wisdom does not come from heaven, which means when he says it doesn't come from heaven, it doesn't come from God, nor does it come from his Holy Spirit. That means it's unspiritual. So when something doesn't come from God, it comes from somewhere else. He describes it as the enemy. You're being fooled. He calls it demonic. And he said, what happens is, it's these two things. It's not from heaven. And he says, what it ends up is that your life spins around and around like a merry-go-round. It ends up with disorder and evil of all kinds. What he's talking about there is if you have envy and selfish ambition, it'll start to plant seeds in your life that'll produce disorder in your life. It'll knock everything off kilter. You'll spin round and around. And what James is, what's interesting is what he's talking to about his early church is that they have faith, but they're not doing anything. He says, you like safety, and so you're staying on the merry-go-round. He says, that's not what we're called to. So this wisdom is like a merry-go-round, spinning round and round, never satisfied, always looking for something, and it ends up going nowhere, and it ends up in disorder. And so I thought about, well, what does that wisdom look like today? You know, and I thought, you know, let's go back to wisdom and knowledge. They have a very strong link. You can have, or sorry, let me go back. You can't have wisdom without knowledge. But you can have knowledge without wisdom. Today we live in the information age. What that means is we are bombarded with knowledge all day long. It's right here in our hand in devices, and we have access. Writing sermons today, I like being in today because I can find a lot of stuff right even through my phone. We have knowledge like never before, but we're really lacking wisdom. So much that there's this quote I found from a very famous person. His name's E.O. Wilson. Look at in sermon note number 2. Here's a quote about today. He says, we are drowning in information while we're starving for wisdom. So how do we have all this knowledge, but our wisdom's going down? He recognizes it. E.O. Wilson is a biologist and a well-known scientist. And he nails it. He says, we have all this knowledge today, but wisdom's actually going downhill. And then I read the next thing that E.O. Wilson said, and it crushed my heart. Because E.O. Wilson is a secular humanist. He said that this is where wisdom comes from. This is a quote from him. He believes that science, not religion or philosophy, will tell us the meaning of human existence. And when I looked at that, I looked at E.O. Wilson as one of the most accomplished scientists and biologists, and he's on the merry-go-round. His pursuit is knowledge and things that aren't from heaven. He said it. He said it. The meaning of human existence is not from God. And so he's on a merry-go-round fueled by envy and self-ambition of scientific discovery. He's still looking for the answers. And so today we have a world that's drowning information, it's looking for wisdom, and we're finding the wrong kind of wisdom. So let's go back to Scripture. We can't stay there, right? So let's go back to Scripture. And James talks about, here's the other type of wisdom. We're starting in verse 17. James continues, he says, but the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also a peace-loving, gentle at all times, and it's willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. Action statement. It shows no favoritism, and it's always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. So James describes this second type of wisdom. There's only two places this comes from. And so let me show you the list that he counters. Here's a list that counters the list of bad stuff. So he starts with the first thing he says, and we see in verse 17, is we call this the roller coaster wisdom list, all right? So we went over the merry-go-round. This is the roller coaster wisdom list. James says this is how we should live. It's first marked by humility. Go way back to verse 13. He says, what's the opposite of envious, jealous, and self-ambition? Humble. What is humble? Humble puts everybody else first. Jesus Christ came to earth to show us humbleness. He put everybody else first. So he said, first thing, it's marked by humility. That's not a spirit of envy or self-ambition. Second thing, he says, it's from heaven, and it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. He says, this type of wisdom comes from above. That means it comes from God and it comes through the Spirit inside of us. And because it is pure, we are pure if we listen. It's pure, it's peace-loving, it's considerate, it's submissive, it's impartial and sincere. It's because it's pure, we're pure. It's peace-loving. What that means is no matter what's going on in life, we're cruising through it. Through all the ups and downs of the roller coaster ride, we're going through it with a peace. because we know where we're going. It's considerate, another humble word. It's gentle. It cares for others first. It's submissive. Well, we love this word. It yields to God's plan and not ours. That's the difference in the self-ambition. And it's impartial and sincere. Just like Fred talked about last week, it has no prejudice. It has no favoritism. It's authentic in our lives. The next thing he says, it's full of action, mercy and good works. This type of wisdom is full of action. This type of heart moves. It's peace-loving. When you're peace-loving, considerate, and sincere, you will be a person of action. Our lives will produce many good things, what he calls fruit, especially in other people's lives. And the last thing he says is it results in peace and right living, like we said, despite the ups and downs of a roller coaster life. You will have peace and righteousness because you navigate life with strength and power. So James labels these two things out pretty clearly. So the big idea here today we got to look at is our wisdom putting us on the merry-go-round, or is our wisdom putting us on a roller coaster? How are we doing today? This sermon series is titled The Man in the Mirror. It's not for men. I'm talking about mankind. So we look at sermon note number 3 together. The mirror reveals what type of wisdom we possess. Let's go back to the mirror. And we look in the mirror, you're going to see a life that tells what kind of wisdom you have, that I have. When we look in the mirror, what does that wisdom show us? Are we on the merry-go-round? What does the merry-go-round look like? Do we like safety? Do we like church for only an hour on Sunday, and the rest of the week I'm back to envy and self-ambition? Or do we see a life that is not afraid to take risk? Is our wisdom marked by getting the next thing? Envy, self-ambition, climbing the corporate ladder, put a few more hours in, all I need to do is put a few more hours in and we'll achieve this, we'll go here. We're constantly unsatisfied, we're going after the next thing, we're searching, we're spinning, we're searching, we're spinning, we're looking, we're suffering from this lack of purpose because all we do is sit on the merry-go-round. And then when we look in the mirror with this type of wisdom, we see a life of broken relationships, we see a life of constant trouble, we see a life of lack of peace. Disorder is what the Bible calls it. Or are we on a roller coaster? Does our life show humbleness? Do we put others first? Do I care about more about the people around me? Am I elevating my spouse? Am I elevating my children? Do I elevate my coworkers? Do I elevate my friends at school? Does my life always see others first, just as Christ did? And in that, are we surrounded by peace? Even though we're on that roller coaster and we're going up and down, do we have a peace and a right living that takes us through the ups and the downs, the highs and the lows? Or is there chaos out of that? And when we're on a roller coaster, the question is, do we take risks? The roller coaster ride is not the merry-go-round. It is a risk. Do we meet people where they're at? Not only people that we know, but people that we don't know. People like us, people not like us. Do we build relationships and share Christ? That will take you on a roller coaster ride. Do we have relationships with the rich, the poor, the older, the younger, those of different ethnicity? Are we bold? Do we love loud? Do we engage others deeply, just like our vision says? So let me wrap up with this. I thought this was a great way to end. There's a study done on 95-year-olds. Everybody in the study, there's 50 of them. 50. That's my old basketball official. Fouls on 50. 50 95-year-olds and older. And they did this study. And they asked him a very open-ended question. If you could live your life again, what would you do differently? And all those 95-year-olds looked in the mirror, and they answered. And what stunned the people studying, the work in the sociologists, the people working through this, is they found all 50 answers had three common points. And I want you to see these. All 50 answers had three common points. If I could do it all over again, they replied, I would reflect more. These are 95-year-olds. I would reflect more. The second thing they said was I would risk more. And the third thing is I would do more things that would live on after I'm dead. The thread was there in all of them. When you look at these, what do you see? You see a little bit of connotation of regret, don't you? James is writing this so we don't have regret. James is telling his young church, don't be safe, get on a roller coaster. The Bible encourages us to a regret-filled life. You know what I'm saying. That we do not have regret. And we're looking forward to that next. So what is the Bible? Let's go after these three. What does the Bible tell us about these three? This is not a Christian study. They may have been Christian. The first thing the Bible tells us is live a reflective life. It tells us read God's word constantly, learn from our mistake, give thanks to God for our victories, and have the desire to live our remaining days with greater intentionality and purpose every day. There is no coasting on a roller coaster, except for the very last part, right, when it comes to start. The second thing the Bible tells us is live a roller coaster life. Take risks. Christianity is a roller coaster ride. If we're living it right, it is an up and down. It is a high risk. Mark 8, 34 through 36 tells us, for whoever will save his life, whoever rides the merry-go-round will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake, whoever rides the roller coaster, whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's, who will share the good news, will save it. A Christian life calls us to take up our cross daily. And that will sure ensure plenty of risk, plenty of ups and downs. Put Christ and the gospel in our lives first and follow wherever he leads us. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the best risk ever. Like grandma said, we're going to feel sick. It's going to be scary. It's going to be thrilling. It's going to be exciting. Last one. I wish I could do more things that would live on after I'm dead. The Bible tells us, live a life of legacy. Live a life of legacy. Who are we going to meet in heaven that our lives impacted? That's one part of legacy. The second part is, what am I leaving behind? In my children, my spouse, my coworkers, my friends. What legacy am I leaving through my life and theirs as Christ works through me? The world is calling, and it's telling us to get on a merry-go-round. Don't buy it. Get wise. Get on the roller coaster, Christian. And all God's people said? Amen. Amen. Ushers, would you come forward, please? And let's bow our heads for the offering together. As a time of worship together, as we really, please, clear your heads of everything else. Look at what God's word is saying to us and offer first change. And then offer second action in your life. However he designs that, your time, your resources, your finances, it doesn't matter. It's all his. How can that work through me? So let's pray about that. Heavenly Father, thank you for James. Thank you for a church that's struggling 2,000 years ago with the same thing we're struggling with today, and that is faith in action. Father, many of us every day are tired, and we want to just stay on the merry-go-round. Father, thank you for the wisdom that says don't. Get on a roller coaster. This Christian life, it's exciting. It's hard. It's thrilling because of what we're heading towards. And we won't even be able to measure the thrill that lies ahead of us in eternity with you. So, Father, push us today as to what wisdom we're listening to. Is it wisdom from heaven, or is it wisdom from the world? Do I need to quit putting so much time into work? Do I need to get back into your word? Do I need to talk to you more? What are we seeing in the mirror? What does our life look like when we look in the mirror? And Father, change our hearts. When we hold on to that bar on a roller coaster, we're going to grip it hard, but Father, we're going to trust you through the ups and downs of life, and we're ready as a church to make a difference. We want to lose our lives for your sake, Jesus, and for the sake of the good news, so everybody can hear that. We are going to be bold. We're going to love loud, and we're going to engage each other deeply. So, Father, take our offering that we have. Each person here is going to give something today. Material, spiritual, doesn't matter. You have our whole hearts. And we give it in Christ's name. Amen. Would you stand with me? Please. Be courteous, right? Ryan, be courteous. Guests, I want to thank you for being with us today. I'd ask, please take a minute and fill out this Connect card on the worship folder, and then just drop it off in our Welcome Center. We have a gift for you, but we just want to make sure we're connected to you. If you're looking for a church home, we'd love to connect with you and just share whatever we can about, is God leading you here? Your gifts, your things, is this the body of Christ that he's leading you to? We'd love to connect with you so we can talk about that. I want to leave you with a quote. We've had a few today, but it's a simple one. Knowledge comes from learning. Wisdom comes from living. So I'll say it one more time. Knowledge comes from learning. Wisdom comes from living. Really living. So get on a roller coaster, Christian, and ride it. Ride it with wisdom from above. Have a great week.